Hey, parents. Welcome back to Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. We're your host, Mark Struthers, a certified financial planner, a chartered financial analyst, and founder of Sona Wealth Management, helps you balance preparing for college and retirement. Let's continue our college funding journey.
Welcome, parents. Welcome to another episode of Minnesota Nice Investor Goes to College. It is a beautiful fallish type day here in Minnesota. We're in Edina. We'll usually broadcast from either Edina or Chanhassen, Minnesota, a couple of the southwest suburbs. It's beautiful, but a little somber. The Vikings just lost to the Packers in the home opener. So if there's a sense of melancholy in my voice, you know why. Last week, we talked about 529 savings plans, or you could think about them as investing plans. And we keyed in on the word investing because college tuition inflation is so high. We gave the example of University of Minnesota Twin Cities over the last 25 years. And you can certainly find spots where maybe it's only 3 or 4%, but it doesn't take long to find schools where that college tuition rate is that high, where it's at least 5 or 6%. And saving for college implies that you are in something low risk, a savings account. You know, and even some of those insurance products that are sold, even though the high fees and the low savings rates make them less attractive, they're sold as being a low savings option. So just make sure you know what you're getting and you know what the outcomes are if you're looking at those. And 529 savings plans actually do have a low savings options, almost all of them. We talked about how each state was different, but most of them have investing options where you can take on some level of risk to get excess return. And if for those of you that have invested over the last 10 years, 10 or 11 years, you have been rewarded. Even with COVID, you have probably far exceeded almost any college tuition inflation rate. You would probably have gotten at least 6, 7, 8% return if you stayed invested and you stayed aggressive. If you understood and embraced risk, not take on risk that you didn't need or want to take on, but you understood that in order to get that return to exceed college inflation, you had to have risk. Well, some folks might say, well, why not just buy semesters now and lock in today's cost? Transferring that college inflation tuition risk from the parent to the school, to the state, whoever is taking on the risk, in most cases, the state. And some might say that's a pretty cool thing. That is what a 529 prepaid plan is. For the most part, now there's a little few nuances that I'm going to touch on. But we gave an example last time of say if a family had $60,000 and they wanted to pay for tuition, not room and board, at the University of Minnesota Twin Cities, and we're going to say it's $15,000 just to keep it simple, and for 4 years, that's $60,000. In our example, we said that they took that $60,000 and put it in a savings account at 0.5% for 20 years. And at the end of that 20 years, they had $66,000. Yeah, not bad. You still had $6,000. You had safety of principal. Well, if the cost of University of Minnesota Twin Cities is at 6%, if we go 20 years in the future, assuming it's 6%, in 20 years, that tuition for a year goes up to $48,000, from $15,000 to $48,000. That's the effect of compounding. Compounding is awesome and magical when it's working for you. It's devastating when it works against you. So all of a sudden, the child 20 years later, we're assuming 20 years for a round number. I'll say that the child took a couple years off or a year off. So the child is looking at school, and we're going to forget about the inflation rates that you have while the child's in school, but we're going to say those 4 years now cost $192,000. So when the parents put the money away, thought they were doing the right thing, they could pay for all 4 years' tuition. Now they can only pay for a little over a year. If you had a prepaid plan, you could buy those tuition, you can call them contracts, units now, and then regardless of the price in 20 years, whether it goes up 3%, 4%, 6%, like in our example, or 10%, they can buy for those 4 years. And if you, so in our example, assume you could do that. Minnesota does not, the state of Minnesota does not have a prepaid plan. But if they did, you could do that. And I'll use Massachusetts. Say you did that in Massachusetts. And say the costs were the same. So you invest 60, in 20 years, instead of having to write a check for $192,000, you'd say, I have my certificates, my contracts, whatever you want to call them. You know, let me in. My tuition is paid for. I just have to worry about room and board. So it's a pretty cool feature. It makes it different. You don't invest in a portfolio. You know, your portfolio with a 529 savings plan can go up or down. If you're invested in a risky asset, obviously, if you're investing in a money market account is a little nuanced, but like a stable value fund or something like it, they most 529 plans have something that has some sort of safety of principle. But you, I think you know what I mean, that you don't have to worry about that. Not all states offer this. So Minnesota, I'm sorry you don't have it, but you do have access to something that might be of help. And you'll find out what in a second. The reason most states don't offer this, it's a little bit my opinion, but I think it's a safe opinion, is that it's too tough to plan for. The cost of college has just gone up too much. That you would, the idea that you would have the state on the hook for 6% or more annualized growth, it's tough to plan for. You know, obviously they have access to investments, but you know, when you're trying to manage risk and everything else, you could see where it's a pretty tough nut to crack to guarantee something. And if the taxpayer is on the hook for it. So only at one time, there were 18 states, only 10 states are still active. I'm going to read through the list here. Florida, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Mississippi, Nevada, Pennsylvania, Texas, Washington. And I'm sorry, the last one is not a state. It's the private college 529 plan. And that's where you in Minnesota might want to look at. If you think your child might go to a private college, see if it's part of the system. It might be worth looking into. But I'm going to go through some pros and cons here, and just so you know of some of the questions to ask. One FYI, some of the states are based on a contract system, which is a little closer to what I was talking about, where you buy a number of semesters, and then they're transferred. Some are units that are based on like a tuition index. Either way, you're probably gonna be close, but just make sure you know that you're not surprised that, and it could work for you or against you. You know, if you can buy a semester at a school, if you know the child is gonna go to that school, and that's a big con, that, you know, what if the child doesn't wanna go to that school? Yeah, and we talked about with Ray, the career coach in the previous episode, that you shouldn't be choosing schools necessarily based on location, based on where the friends go, based on the name of the school. You should it should be based on what sort of career might the child go into based on a narrowing down the field. Again, you don't know for sure. And then you look at the school best for that a possible field. And then you look at the way the child learns and other factors. So I had to throw that in there. I think the prepaid plans are a great idea. If maybe you kind of set that aside and said, you know what, we're not going to go down that path. I think what Ray talked about as far as having a more scientific approach to choosing school rather than location is the healthiest way. But if you say our child's going to go to, say, if you say they're going to go to the University of Minnesota system, you know, we just need to choose which one. Assuming Minnesota offered one, then you might say this is a good idea. So just be aware of the way it's calculated. I'm going to list off some pros here. Pro, the tax benefit is the same. Post-tax dollars in, tax-free dollars coming out for qualified expenses, and that's, in this case, tuition. So room and board is not included. That's a con. So room and board is not included for these prepaid plans. And for some of you might be thinking, well, I've had clients like this where they both met at Boston College, which is a very expensive school. Tough to get into. And they wanted to plan for their child to go there. And they did a combination of prepaid tuition and five regular 529 plans. And also they planned some of their retirement accounts and just cash flow in while the child was going to school. Obviously they were both very high income earners to be able to do that. A pro is you don't have to deal with market fluctuation. This could help you sleep at night. You know what you're getting. You know, with a 529 investment plan, you know, it can be stressful if you're, you know, relying on those funds. Ideally, you should be able to decrease risk and have a backup plan, but at least here, you know what you're getting. Same favorable FAFSA treatment of the 5.64%. You know, it's not a student owned asset that's penalized at 20%, like a custodial account, an UTMA account, or another child asset. And the biggest thing is you don't have to worry about college inflation. I still recall years ago as I went through what a four-year funding would look like at, I used to speak more at community ed type things. And someone raised their hand and asked, well, why is it going up why such a big increase from year one to year two? And it was a real life example. It was actually something that happened with a local school recently. It was just that 1 year's increase. So when you're getting 6% per year increase year by year, you know, even a year or two, even going from year one to year four, you could see some pretty dramatic increases. So it can give you some peace of mind. It's low risk. You definitely have to consider it low risk compared to very aggressive investing. But we're going to switch to cons. And one of the cons is you might have to worry about default. You need to ask who is backing the plan. Is it a private organization? Is it the school? You know, if it's the school, what, you know, you have to ask yourself, and, you know, and you might be satisfied with the answer the school gives, but is there any chance you would default? You know, same with the state. Is there any chance the state would default? What does the state finances look like? You know, if you're in the state of Illinois, you know, and even after COVID here, there are even some of the healthier states, you know, who knows? They might not be in a position to cover these. The idea that they wouldn't cover any of them seems unlikely, but these are questions you should ask. In most cases, you're talking about a lot of money. You need to know who's backing the plan, you know, and you know, also ask, has there ever been a history of defaults? Now, most of these plans aren't old enough to have defaults, but those are all good questions. And, you know, kind of look around and think, if there were 18 plans at one point, 8 of them no longer take on new investors, new parents, why? What happened to them? And part of it might be supply and demand, that folks don't like to be tied down to a school or to a, usually it's a system of schools. You could think about a program, you know, and that's one of the cons. The child is going to have to use a college in that program. If they don't, quite often you're able to get your money back and apply it to a different school, but you don't get that college inflation rate of return. So if you were in a program that had 6%, kind of like we talked about, 6% annualized return, or not return, but cost growth. Well, and if you bought the prepaid plan, you did have that return, you know, because you did have to write a check for that to a large tuition amount. You don't get that. Most of the time it's, if you get, you get your money back, maybe a small loss, but usually it's some sort of small savings account type return, which is better than nothing. And certainly, you know, for a lot of folks, especially if they're going to be funding a lot of college, it might be a good option. But just be aware you know, that if you don't use it, your purchasing power is decreased, just in the way that we talked about. You know, that if you are getting 0.5% or even 2% return, at least you're getting your money back. At least you might be getting a small return, but your purchasing power, you intended to buy 2 years, now you can only buy half a year, whatever the case may be. Same 10% penalty if you don't use them in ordinary income tax, if you don't use it for qualified education expenses. Again, you most likely are going to have the option that if you don't go to school in that system to choose another school, it's just that you probably aren't going to get the return that you thought you were getting by matching inflation when you bought the prepaid plan to inflation when your child goes to school. Quite another con is quite often you have to be this a resident of that state. You know, one noticeable exception is Massachusetts. And Massachusetts actually has a pretty attractive prepaid plan. But again, you need to look at the schools in the program, make sure they're right for you. And one other con, this circles back to the way that some schools don't go by contract unit. They don't go by contracts, they go by units. The unit you may buy may be higher or lower. Lastly, some of them have limited windows where you can purchase them, unlike a 529 investment plan, savings plan, there is no limit. I mean, there might be a limit, quite often with there's deadlines for 529 savings plans as far as getting a tax credit most often. You know, usually has to be by the 12/31. That's kind of a separate conversation, a separate issue. But for a prepaid plan, quite often there's an open, kind of an open enrollment window. There could also be age and grade limits. And we mentioned this before, is tuition only. So 529 prepaid plans aren't a common option in Minnesota because you just have the private option, which is certainly worth looking into. My wife went to a private school. It certainly could be, if you pretty fairly certain, it might be, you might want to mix that into your college funding strategy. I often would recommend certainly you plan for other things, either 529 investing savings plans or using other assets just in case, but it might be worth exploring. So there you have it. You know what 529 savings plans are. You know the difference between those and 529 prepaid plans. You are ready to go. You're ready to use the 529 to help you along your college funding journey. Thank you for spending time with me. Thank you for sharing your college funding journey with me. Until next time.